problems, but nevertheless, this is usually the time of the year where we're all biting our fingernails about it, wondering who's coming, who's not, how the Lord's going to supply, and by the time it's ready to go, why the Lord has supplied the needs of people. We're thankful for Joe and Nikki wanting to come. And they're two people who I'm sure could have an excuse for not going. Pop did a good job last year, and we're going to have, by the way, Pops, Donna and I will be celebrating our anniversary out there again, and your birthday's the next day. And Donna and I celebrate our anniversary 5 years in a row out there with the kids. And what's nice about that, being out there with the kids and the activity with them on the team, is I don't have to buy your gift or a card. I can just simply say, oh, I've been so busy, I forgot. And then, you know, this sort of thing. And then by the time we get home, she says, well, it's kind of, and we'll do it next year. Anyway, Pop's birthday is right after our anniversary the next day, right? Okay, so it'll be nice to see him. We have many things to do. Maybe Nikki can help in the mayor's office off and on and things, and we'll make sure that they're well taken care of. But we're really thankful for all of them coming, and for Brittany coming back also, because Brittany did a good job, and we really appreciated her being there. I'd like to put in a good word for Fozzie. You'll be delighted, ladies, in hearing Fozzie. Fozzie is a unique person, and you'll enjoy hearing her speak and part of her testimony. And so I'd remind you to come to this, because Fozzie's a gifted young lady. And I just had my 69th birthday a couple weeks ago, so I called everybody in their early 50s and late 40s young, or something like that. Well, anyway, young lady. But Fozzie does a good job. Right now I'm in the middle of one of my classes at New Tribes, the intertestamental period. So if this morning if I fumble words and start talking about Ptolemy the second Soter and Antiochus the fourth and other names, well, I'll just kind of backtrack. Because I have a list of those names that I give the students, and I can't even pronounce them. We have them pronounced, and anyway, I'm in the midst of that, and it's a busy time. It's been a while since we've seen you, and the Lord has been good to us and allowing me to be able to rearrange my schedule. I mentioned to you before that there's some pressure on me to rearrange my schedule, not to make it so busy or not to make it clutter it up so much, because I've been going through and still have been going through what appeared at times to be symptoms of a heart attack. But the cardiologist says, I'm fine. No problems, no stents, nothing in my heart. And last week I went to see a doctor, and he really chewed me out about rearranging things and not keeping my schedule so busy. So my health is great, but I guess stress has accumulated over the years. It's a crazy thing how it shows up. So that's why you're only going to see us three times this year, not four, because I'm taking a Sunday off, trying to take a Sunday a month off at home. All right. Would you open up, enough of that small talk, open to Philippians chapter 2. I would think over the years you've heard me refer to this portion many, many times. One of the blessings of my last 6 years, well, more than that, maybe 7 or 8 years, is in my late 60s, the Lord renewed my ministry with young people by allowing me to teach at the Bible school in Waukesha, two courses, the STEP program. And he's put me in touch with people who are at a critical stage of life. These are not just kids in high school, basically. These are kids who are out and they're trying to decide, what is God's will? What am I to do? Where am I to go? They're concerned about professions or calling to be a missionary. They're concerned about getting married or whether they should be single or who they should marry and this whole thing. And I'm very thankful for it. It has given me my second wind. I'd like to say that. Given me my second wind to be around so many young people. And they ask me a lot of questions because I try to get close to them. And they ask me a lot of questions about the Lord's work and about walking with the Lord and about how the Lord works in our lives and what the Lord expects of us and these sort of things. And so I've been doing a lot of thinking over the years about my own life and about the scriptures and how I think the Lord works in our lives. And here in this verse, chapter 2, verse 5, I've read it many times, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, or let this attitude be in you, or mind. And I've written down some things. They're not necessarily in any particular order except the first two. I've written down some things that were characteristic of the Lord, features of his obedience, features of his way of thinking. And the first one, I think, is submission. Second one I wrote down is devotedness to doing God's will. I've written down others such as his meekness and gentleness and his prayer, sympathy for people, his grief at the unbelief of others, his kindness to people, meeting their needs. But I think the first two, submission and obeying God's will, go together. I wonder if you've ever thought that there's a difference between obedience and submission. I wonder if it's ever come to you through some circumstance in your life or some period or some trial where you've realized that you've been doing the Lord's will, you've been obeying the scriptures, but you're having some difficulties with the Lord about what's happening in your life. Submission is first. Submission is an attitude of heart and mind that prefers to do God's will. That is an attitude that said God's choices are the best. And there's no doubt about it. If you look in this chapter, I've said it many times before, this chapter is dealing with problems and fellowship in the Philippian church. You can start at chapter 1, verse 27. And you can run through it. There was some problem. Paul doesn't spell the problems out very clearly. So I don't think they are theological. But the way he goes through this portion, he develops a thought that it's interpersonal problems, that is problems of people who went their way, that has to do with people who are only interested in their self-interest, and that he thinks and says is causing the problem. So let's look at a few of these and then I'll move on. He talked about verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Well, think about the Lord's life, selfish ambition or conceit. And many things are done that way. Many of them are if we feel slighted, shunted aside. If we feel that people have not accepted our ideas. Anyway, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Now there's that word, lowliness of mind, the way Christ did. Let each esteem others better than himself. So one of the problems in the church in Philippi simply seemed to be that some people wanted the front seat, they wanted the first place, they wanted to be recognized, and they wanted their ideas accepted, and they were not willing to give in. We can go on a little bit. Verse 4, let each of you look not only out for his own interests, but the interests of others. When you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we would have absolutely no problems coming with many, many verses that shows our Lord was deeply interested in us to the place where he gave his life. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant, coming to the likeness of man, verse 8, and being found in appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, death of the cross. He humbled himself. Obedience is absolutely essential, doing the will of God, Romans 12. But submission may be the hardest thing we do. Submitting in our lives to where we are, who we are, what we are, what the Lord does in our lives, and opportunities we have or don't have. And we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see that he became humbled and obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. On the way to the cross, he had to set aside various things. First of all, we know he's humble. He even said about himself, I am meek and lowly of heart. What man would have the pride to say that? I mean, I may say things about myself, but I wouldn't say that. See? And the way the Lord seemed to just take his life and things that came to serve and help. Submission, then, is something we should spend a little time thinking about. In 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 20, actually going back, Paul says in verse 18, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have of God? And here's the phrase, you are not your own. You are not your own. Ownership. When we came to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, our sins were put away, and we were given the seal of the Spirit and the earnest of the Spirit, this guarantee that we would be taken to heaven, and we would be brought through and delivered to the end goal. And the earnest money, so to speak, was put down, all right, paid for us. But also, it is this, we are not our own. Ownership. It takes a little while for us to understand in our Christian life that we are not really our own. That we we've been bought by the blood of Christ, and he wants to do things in our lives and through us. In the garden, the Lord said, not my will, but thine be done. In the Garden of Gethsemane, close now to dying on the cross. Within the next day or so, he is going to be arrested very soon. He's going to be tried. The lies are going to be said about him. He's going to go to the cross and die. We know he's going to raise from the dead. And this is our Lord. This is submission. This is our Lord understanding the difficulties as a human being, as in his human side, as well as those moments of separation from the Father when he bore the sins, our sins. But not my will, but yours. And that should be the foundation of the Christian character. Not my will, but yours. Well, how does it work out? Are we willing, as we read Philippians chapter 2, are we willing to be absent from the body of self-interest and to be present with the will of God? Are we willing to let God do in our lives as he wills? And this is very important. And this is what Paul seemed to be pointing out as a problem. Romans 15:3 says, well, let me read that. Romans 15:3, but even Christ did not please himself. As is written, the reproaches of those who reproached him fell on me. Even Christ did not please himself. Submission is understanding that God wants to do something and he has absolute right to help himself to our lives. And that as he works in our lives, he works his will out. So what is submission? Well, first of all, you know, the message has to become part of our lives. As in my own life, because I speak all of the time, sometimes at least once a week, but sometimes more. I'm aware that it's always not part of my life. I prepare messages and I look at it and I look at some portion of scripture that that's not, I haven't fully grasped that. I need to pay attention to that. But the idea is a message must become part of our life. As a disciple, our lives must be a holy example of the message that we have, the reality of the message. We believe in Jesus Christ. We are His. We belong to Him. He owns us. He has a right to do in our lives as He wishes. And it's important for us to understand that we are to be a holy example. But it's not so easy, because the Lord has a way of bringing trials into our lives. Let me ask you a couple of questions before we go on. These are questions I often ask the young people. For sure, do I realize my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit in my body. Therefore, am I condoning some form of sin? Am I condoning some form of sin that could not bear the light of God shown on it? Is there something that I'm thinking, something in my life, and if the light of God was shown on that, it would be shown to be sinful. It would be shown to be not submissive to what the Word of God says. And these are things that are deep within us. Our young people today are so caught up in things. I'm on Facebook. I don't go on it much. I think some people live on Facebook. Every once in a while, I'll make some frivolous comment. Almost everything I say is frivolous. What's on your mind? I might say, you know, what's it to you? What do you care? Say, within minutes, I'm getting 10, 15 responses. Say, and whoa, all these people, what do? Sit in front of the computers all day. But the thing is, every once in a while, I look up the page of some person, some Christian, somebody else, some friend who wanted to be my friend. I didn't realize I had 123 friends. I thought I had no friends at all in this world, other than my wife. But every once in a while, I go to one of their pages, and I find some remarks and some statements they make that are very inappropriate for Christians to make. Very inappropriate. Oh, I fiddle around once in a while. See? But there's some very inappropriate things said. They must think that nobody can see that, or nobody's going to worry about looking it up. But nevertheless, those are some of the things. So, am I condoning some habit of body which cannot withstand the light of God? Is my mind, now this is the submission, is my mind in perfect agreement with the life of Jesus in me? Or am I mentally, remember, the mind of Christ, you have to, am I mentally rebellious and defiant? Now what I mean by that, I may read something in Scripture and I say, I can't do that. Or I won't do that. Or I read it quickly. Or I say that's somebody else's problem. Am I defiant in my mind? Do I struggle and fight with God? I've had three times in my Christian life, maybe more that I'm not aware of, but I've had three times in my Christian life where my major conflict was not obedience, but submission. And it was a fight to do God's will, even though I was serving. One, when I was ready for the mission field, just two people in school, two people went to the leaders and said, I don't think John's qualified to be a missionary. Two people out of a class of 85. Well, why is that? Well, When I talk to him, many times he doesn't respond. Well, I was deaf. I didn't wear a hearing aid, and I hadn't told anybody I was losing my hearing. So I said to the leaders, well, I have a deafness problem, and one of the leaders called me a liar. So I went to the hearing specialist and brought back a very bad report about the state of my hearing, and he was quite embarrassed. Nevertheless, they thought that I shouldn't go on. What are they going to do with me? So they decided that I should go and start all over again. Wow. So I went off to a Bible camp during the summer near Chippewa Falls. And I'd never been there before, and I went up there, and I committed myself to a month. I wanted to go up there so I could think and pray. And I took a lot of walks in the cornfield next to the camp, and I really fought with God. Now, I was obeying him. I was at camp. I was teaching his word. I was helping young people. I led a couple of young people to the Lord. I was trying to show gentleness. I was trying to serve him and obey. But my heart was in conflict. I was really angry at the Lord. Now, I mean that. It took me a while to realize that I was upset with the way the Lord was leading me. Upset with it. So I took these walks to pray, and as I had been praying, I thought, one day I was praying, and I thought, I've got to get through this. Meanwhile, I had been invited. The man who was director of the camp had some small country churches. And meanwhile, they invited me to do some speaking, and I went to speak. And the last day, or the second last day of camp, he came up to me and said, how would you like to be pastor of one of these churches? And the first thing that came to my mind is, yeah, I could get away from all these problems, and I could still be serving the Lord. Say, they had a farmhouse. They would support me, put food in the cupboard, give me a car to use. I was single, and I could get started. Nice. What would be wrong with that? Nothing. That's God's service. And then the next thing that came to me is, no. I want you to go back and face this problem. There was a posture that came to my mind that I brought this problem to your life for an exact reason. Don't run. Now, I can't prove what I'm going to say, but I believe had I taken those churches, I might not even be in the ministry today. Because I would have learned how to do what I want to do without submitting to what is hard. I might have fallen into the pattern that every time something got rough, just go. See? Take off. Self-willed. Well, the drive back to Wisconsin, southern Wisconsin near Kenosha, was a long drive to face the music. I got there. And I had just started going with Donna. And by the way, some were persuading Donna to dump me. I think she maybe still wishes she did. I don't know. But they were persuading Donna to dump me because I didn't have what it took. Whoa. Well, I knew this. I got back and Donna said, the committee wants to see you. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. So on the way down, I'm trying to see if there's any ropes on trees with, you know, or anything like this, or if there's a pole with a fire ready to be made or whatever is else there. And I got back, and I walked in the office, and I sat in front of these eight or nine men, and they said, you're going to Columbia, South America. Oh, I am. Get your passport as fast as you can. And I said, well, wait a minute. I was just told a few weeks ago that I had to go back and start over. Well, forget that. You're going to South America as quick as you can. A new door is open in Colombia, and we need new people there. Get your stuff and get out of here. And I can remember walking back to Donna's parents' apartment, at the end of the compound, quite a long walk, and my mind is staggered. But the first thing that came to my mind was, it was good for you not to take those churches. The second time is when we left New Tribe Mission to come to the assemblies. It was a trying time, but there was some real joy about it. We are finally understanding certain things about God's Word, and we're going to make this change in our lives. So we resigned from the mission board. We started working with the assemblies. We were learning a whole lot about the Word of God and serving, and we were trusting the Lord, and we were joined, and then all of a sudden our finances stopped. Every penny stopped. Everybody who was supporting us stopped supporting us. So I had to get a job teaching English. You've heard me probably talk about this before. It was in a business school downtown where people, especially girls, were learning English so they could get jobs in American companies, and hopefully they could marry an American and get out of Columbia. It was a very carnal environment, to say the least. It was carnal. And I had to do that for 6 to 7 months. And it were long days. And I was obeying the Lord, by the way. I wasn't doing anything wrong. I was witnessing. I was being busy in whatever I could do when I wasn't working. But I was still fighting the Lord. I'm fighting. Lord, we made this change. Now you've abandoned us. And I remember I got home late from work at night, and when I got home, why, I had to be up very early in the morning to go to school and teach. I used to take a walk to pray. And one night I was standing in a street light. There was a light right in the middle of the street, and I stood right under it. No cars were coming. I didn't worry about the cars. And I stood in there praying. And a thought came to me, and the thought was this. What if I wanted you to stay and work in that school and witness to people there for the rest of your ministry? Would you be willing to do it? And the first thing that came to me was no. No. And then the next thing that came to me is, you said you wanted to do my will. Yeah. What if that's my will? Submission. And I remember then saying, Lord, I hate the place. I hate the people down there. I hate the girls coming in with their miniskirts. I hate the carnal environment. But if that's where you had me, I would stay. Now, this is true. A week later, money started coming in. Money started coming in. And, whoa! Before you know it, I had quit teaching English, was busy helping the assemblies, and about 6 weeks later, we had an assembly, enough people in our garage to form an assembly. Submission. Different than obedience. It's giving our heart to Jesus Christ and saying, not my will but yours. And the last one is when I had to come home. When I came home, when my hearing started getting worse, and it was clear that I couldn't stay, and I came home, I was really upset with the Lord. Really upset. I can't tell you how upset I was, but I was obeying him. I was preparing sermons. I was coming up here and speaking. I was doing other things, but I was upset. Why put me through all of that training, all of that, to bring me back. Now, I've said this to you before, and I don't mind it. I don't want to be a wise guy. To just be part of the Plymouth Brethren speaker circus, if you know what I mean. Filling our books the best we can so we can keep paying the rent and eating. By the way, I'm a Class B free agent. Now, a Class B free agent, well, I don't mind. What's the difference? But I'm a Class B free agent, which means you don't get the big ones. Although last year at the Labor Day Conference in Minneapolis, I got a big one. See, but they realize anyway that I'm just a Class B free agent. And I said, well, I want to be part of the Plymouth Brethren circus. And I was angry. I was angry. Well, I went through whatever it was, enough time, difficult times, to finally one day say to the Lord, I accept it. I submit. So submission is different than obedience. And our Lord prayed, not my will, but yours. And submission is a very important thing. So the message must become part of our lives. Am I allowing the mind of Christ to be formed in me? Not my will, Father, but yours. I have a responsibility to keep my spirit, not the Holy Spirit, capital S, but my spirit, in agreement with His. When you're in troubles, when you're in difficulties, recognize this, that God is the master designer of our lives. He's the one who knows and He designs our lives. And in troubles or difficulties, rise to the occasion at every chance you have. No matter how difficult it is, every time, to whatever occasion comes, rise to the occasion. One thing is, handle your emotions. I don't mean the speakers to shrink, but handle your emotions. Because it's the disappointments and emotions that make us want to run. That make us want to go elsewhere. So, in troubles rise, every time to every occasion may come your way. In doing His will. Remember that God is the designer of our lives. He allows adversity to come into our lives to see if we will willingly obey Him. You see, you and I read the scriptures, but we don't often hear what the scriptures say. So God brings into our lives situations that make us listen to what the scriptures say. Maybe you have a bad temper, and you read something about anger, and you read it, and you know, but you just move on because the thought comes, well, I was raised that way or something, and you go. And God brings you in a situation where you might publicly embarrass yourself by losing your temper. And then you realize that God is dealing with you. You might do it in a local assembly. So God's the designer of our lives. And He is trying to discipline us and He is trying to teach us. Remember this, God will never shield us from being His child. 1 Peter 4:12. He will never shield us. 1 Peter 4:12. And these are verses I should have memorized, right? 4:12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened. But rejoice to the extent that you partake in Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. So do not think it strange. Do not think, God, you're unfair with me. Do not think that. Again, rise to the occasion. Sit and think. But he is the master designer of our lives, and he never will shield us from trials and things that are good for us. He will never shield us from what he requires of his children. Today, people are losing jobs or out of jobs. We've had people in our assembly who've been there for years with the same job, and suddenly, bang, gone, cut. And the next thing you know, they move to Omaha, or they move to Cincinnati, or they move somewhere else. That's an upheaval in their lives. God designs the circumstances. And submission, taking advantage of what God is doing, is important. Whatever takes place in your life, do what the trial demands. So the proper goal of life is that we recognize Jesus Christ in life. Another problem we have is that we're often dictating to God what our demands are. Right? We're often dictating what we want. I tell these kids at school, I hang around. When my class is done, I hang around. I come early for a cup of coffee. When my class is done, I hang around. And I pester them, or they pester me. And one of the things I say is that don't dictate to God. Part of the problem is we have expectations. God, you were unfair about this, the job, we have to move. This, we've been in assembly, we've been youth, we've been deacons, we've been elders, we've been this, we've been that. Or this relationship. It's important then for us to understand. Once we make the goal in our lives to have the mind of Christ in us, then we stop dictating to the demands. We stop dictating to God. And we accept what he has for us. So, our Lord never made demands on the Father. Read, let this mind be in you. Then make demands on the Father. Well, we tend to do that. The hardest part of being a missionary, I share this with the kids, and I think the hardest part of any of this, I'm not just talking about missionary, but living for Christ in this world, especially now that things are getting turned upside down and we don't know what's going to happen. It's a mess. I think it's a mess, political scenes. Nevertheless, the hardest part of being a missionary isn't learning language, and that can be hard. You take a dummy like me. I mean, what's a pronoun, a professional noun? I don't know. And what's congregating a verb, getting a bunch of verbs together? I mean, I don't know. I never understood grammar. I couldn't tell you anything. So they had to yank me out of class and put me in an army program where you just memorize dialogues. I don't know, a past imperfect from a future, whatever it is. Just memorize dialogues. But language may be hard, but it's not the hardest part of being a missionary. And not learning culture. To me, learning culture was fun. I studied cultural anthropology quite deeply, and I thought it was fun. That was fairly easy for me. Or the heat. The inconveniences, those are all hard. But you know the hardest part is? Submission. Submission. That's the hardest thing for missionary. Why? We demand success. Lord, I've been putting efforts in that Sunday school. Lord, I've been putting efforts into that village. Lord, I've been doing this. I've been standing in the hot sun handing out tracts. I've been going house to house in all these little villages selling Bibles. We're hot and dirty and dusty because the roads are dusty and the food is greasy. That's why we have gallbladder problem. Everything is cooked with lard. Awful. See, get these pains here. Lard. See, you can taste it. It's awful. But that's not the hard part. The hard part is submitting to what God wants. We demand success. And when others have it, we question God's design. Second thing about a missionary, anybody, you hear, is that serving the Lord or obeying the Lord is really voluntary. You know, you sit there sometimes and you know you don't have to do this. I remember we used to joke, say, about the missionary life. It's voluntary. We'd say, well, Harv Rogers used to, every time I'm down, I just open a drawer and there's the old passport. Yep, there's the old passport. And every day at 4 o'clock, every day, the plane circled the city and headed toward Miami. And you watch that thing go, whoa, say, whoa. Be in Miami, whoa, say. Well, Harv said, that's what keeps me. I open up, there's the passport. Well, one more day. I can hang one more day. I can hang one more day. But he says, looking at that old passport, pretty tempting, isn't it? Pretty tempting. Well, it can be anything, not just missionary life. We often demand an explanation from God. Why did you do this? Why is this relationship grown sour? Why is my marriage grown sour? Why is the person that I married who said they knew the Lord and loved the Lord now having an affair? Why is the business I put so much time into it falling apart? Why are my kids, whom I've instructed and tried to properly follow biblical principles, why are some rebelling against Jesus Christ? These are many, many questions we have. The hardest thing in a missionary life is submission. We demand an explanation. One of the points here is this. Jesus urges us to keep our minds filled with the concept of God's control in everything. That's hard. To keep in mind God's control over everything, which means we have to maintain an attitude of perfect trust in God. You know what is best. And very often when I have counsel with people or talk with them or whatever word you wish to use, they have some situation, be it financially or jobs or a future that doesn't look bright. One guy came to me years ago, he said, you know, I'm 48 years old. I've been working behind that machine for 20 years and it just hit me the other day. That's where I'm going to end up. Working behind that machine. What's it all for? See? And he started slacking in his Christian life. Started slacking. He had to see that he had a place in the assembly, things he could do, and he's revived. He's perked up. But it was a period of time when he was basically upset with God because his life didn't turn out the way he wanted it to be. The Lord said, my heavenly fathers know all about this. We talk in Matthew about all of our worries tonight. Your Father in heaven knows all about this. Submission is the key to obedience. Submission is the key to doing God's will. It is different than obedience. It's hard to explain. But it's a heart that prefers God's will. It's a heart that accepts God's will. It's the heart that willingly follows His word with a sense of expectation and delight. So there are times when God won't lift the darkness from our lives. I've experienced those times. What I mean by that is I'm doing what God wants me to do in the local church. I used to work at Alice Chalmers in factory. When I got laid off, I was kind of bummed. I had a job as a machinist, and I was kind of bummed. because Alan Chalmers was slowly going down the tube with nothing anymore. And anyway, it seemed as if nothing was real fresh to me. I'm reading the Word of God and nothing is fresh. There seemed to be a time of darkness, a time when I just didn't, where's the joy? And Psalm 13, David says the same thing. How long, O Lord, will you hide your face forever? Psalm 13 is one of my favorite psalms. It's a short psalm. How long, O Lord? How long is this thing going to last? Will you hide your face forever? There's no freshness in this. There are so many problems, and I just don't see any freshness or joy. And then he talks about wrestling with his thoughts. Psalm 13, wrestling with his thoughts. What does that mean? Trying to figure a way out of it. Trying to figure out how to get this done. So that's when we start running to people. Here. We run to people. It's not wrong to share a burden with people, but we start running to people. And what God wants us to do at times is learn how to be quiet. We run from person to person. And but once we understand our Heavenly Father knows about everything, we go to God about it. There are times when He won't lift the darkness. Trust Him. I remember teaching that school and coming home, and it was like just endless, day after day. No letters from home, no money from home. One of my best friends that I led to Jesus Christ wrote me a letter and says, now that you've left the mission, you've been placed in the devil's hands. Yeah. Whoa. When you're standing at a post office and you're reading that, you feel like ripping all the post office box doors off, say, and making a shamble. By having resigned from mission, you've placed yourself in the devil's hands. You're now under his control. Whoa. My wife made me do something. I used to keep these things in a file. And every once in a while, when I'd open a file and I'd read one, I think I kind of enjoyed being angry. I put it in there, thing. Every once in a while, yeah? Huh. One day she said to me, we have to deal with this. Okay. What we do, get rid of and burn all the letters. Well, I enjoyed being angry. I got rid of all of them. Clean the file out. What was sad? Oh, I want something to keep me mad. I can't like to. Those are interesting things. Nevertheless, in the time of darkness, trust Him, because at the appropriate time, God will make Himself clear. We often think He's an unkind friend, maybe an unjust judge, but keep the thought in the mind that God is behind all. He's behind everything, even the smallest detail. Keep that in mind. Let me ask some questions and we'll be finished here. Is the Son of God being given His opportunity to work in you? Or is there a form when you say, Lord, I can't accept that. I just won't accept it. It's not what I wanted. Are you giving Him the opportunity to work in you? To bring you trials, difficulties, even times of darkness. Is the Lord satisfied by your life? Or are you exhibiting a walk of spiritual pride before Him? Another one, love for God isn't something sentimental or emotional. For a saint, love to God is love is the most practical thing imaginable. Sure, it can be emotional. At times you feel absolutely warm and close. The love of God shall have broadened your heart. But the love for God is the most practical thing imaginable in our lives. Don't sit at the door of God's grace and God's purpose in self-pity. Go on in. Don't sit at the door of troubles. Go in and taste of his grace and mercy. Self-will, pride, pours contempt on God. In fact, that's what John Newton said in one of his songs, right? Self-will, pride, pour contempt upon God. There are whole areas of our lives that God wants to work in. Our Lord's example is a pattern. Sit and ask yourself how he handled the erring disciples. He rebuked them, but there was a tenderness there. There was patience. There was understanding. Peter's strutting around. He says, Peter, listen, Peter. And he tells them. Or the disciples are walking down the road and they're talking about who's going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord had just told them the Son of Man must go to Jerusalem. And he must be tried. And he must suffer and die for your sin. And they didn't even hear him. So, my friend, submission is important. And many times we simply say, I will not submit. That is one thing I wanted God to do, and I will not. And pretty soon you start disobeying. But remember this, and I want to just finish now. Remember our Lord's example. He's a pattern of unselfish disregard for himself. Unselfish disregard for his own things. Devotion to the things of the Father. I don't know what you may be going through right now. The discovery of a sickness, loss of wealth, job, strained relationships, disappointment at your stage of life, like that man that said behind the machine with the sad face, I'm 48, that's how I'm going to finish up, that's all my future is. Worked on 65 behind the machine. What can I say? Can you say? Try to connect them in a better way to the local church. Submission to the will of God is the most important thing. It's the first step. Father, thank you for what Paul is teaching us. Do we have the same attitude, Father, that our Lord Jesus had? Became a servant when he didn't have to be, washing the disciples' feet when they should have been washing his. Making himself a servant to the point of death on the cross. Father, we don't like people to wipe their feet on us. We don't like people to shunt us aside. Father, we don't like to have people listen to our views or our suggestions and then ignore us. We don't like to have our expectations ruined. We don't like the times when you don't seem to be near. But you are the designer and the owner of our lives and every detail. Teach us above all things, to learn to submit. A heart that fully accepts what you do. I pray this in Jesus' name.